Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, fellow travelers from across the galaxy. I am Kelsey.
I am Caitlin.
And this is Rebels Remembered. And today we're discussing Season 2, Episode 16 of Star Wars Rebels called Homecoming. Homecoming originally aired on February 17th, 2016. The synopsis, I believe this is from StarWars.com, reads, the Ghost crew joins forces with Cham Syndulla, father of Hera and Clone Wars legend, but will his thirst for revenge cost the Rebels a victory? This was originally written by Stephen Melching, directed by Bosco...
Again.
NG, you know how to pronounce his name? Bosco, if you're out there, let us know how to pronounce your name. Directed this episode.
Okay, so we just... took a break from Thanksgiving, so it's interesting we're getting into an episode that's kind of about family, which is interesting. But before we go any further, how do you say his name? Is it Cham or is it Sham?
That's a good question. So I say Cham just because it's easier for me to say.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the way you pronounce it, so to speak. How do you pronounce his name?
I say Cham, but in this episode, I think when he introduced himself, I could have sworn I heard him say Sham. Maybe he has an
maybe
accent.
Maybe it's the accent.
Maybe it's because I'm from the South and it's just easier to say Cham. But yeah. It doesn't sound as good.
It doesn't sound as cool without the accent, I guess.
Speaking of accents, some of the trivia for this episode, when Hera gets flustered, her natural... Here's another word we don't know how to say. Twi'lek or Twi'lek. Mm-hmm. Her natural Twi'lek accent comes through, answering a long-standing fan question as to why she didn't sound like the other Twi'leks seen in the Clone Wars. So apparently in the Clone Wars, they all have this French-sounding undertone to their voice.
Yeah, which to me was kind of... I don't know when that came about. I don't know if it was in the films or if it was in the TV show, which came first, but I always thought that was kind of odd that... they're from another planet, but yet they have this very, very French-sounding kind of accent.
Interesting.
I didn't know until you said that fans were actually questioning why she didn't have that.
I didn't either. Of course, I'm not... Like I said, I have never seen Clone Wars. The world just blew up. No kidding. So I didn't know that people were probably wondering why Hera didn't have that sound to her voice, which is interesting.
Yeah. Interesting to have... Vanessa Marshall, who voices Hera, to do that accent.
Mm-hmm.
She did a good job, I thought.
Yeah, it doesn't sound overdone or, you know, it doesn't sound like, you know, people do a French accent. It's like
a cartoony
it's
version.
It's very
of a French accent.
Over the top, and yeah, to me, she did a good job. Okay, so another character, interesting tidbit here, Numa, on her armor plate, the word B-O-I-L is written Arabesh, as well as a crest in reference to one of the clone troopers that rescued her in the Clone Wars. She also has a Feta Tuka on her illustration on her tunic. Now, Tuka is those little, the dolls we talked about before.
Yeah, so Numa, there is a reference to her in Future of the Force. I believe it's Pipey's doll, is a Tuka doll, and... when she was in that episode, I can't think of the episode's name off the top of my head, rescued by Boyle, and I can't remember the other clone.
Oh, it's
name.
Boyle? Like,
Boyle
it's actually
is his
Boyle.
Actual name.
Okay.
Yeah. She actually has a Tuka doll with her. And so she sort of grows up in this... What I'm going to talk about with Cham later is growing up in a world where you always have to fight to survive, and what that does to a person after so long of that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had a little bit of a reference to her then, but yeah, Boyle is actually a name of a clone. One of the clone troopers that rescued her in that episode, which I cannot think of the name of.
But it is interesting that she carried that with her.
Yeah, I think it shows a lot of, you know, I think respect she had for the clones in general, for like saving her life, and I think even Hera mentions it. About a lot of the clone troopers that were on trying to assist Ryloth. So, I will say also, speaking of Numa, she is also voiced by Catherine Tabor, I believe, who voiced her when she was a little girl in Clone Wars. Don't hold me to this, I believe she also voices Padme Amidala in Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think
Wars.
So.
Yeah, so it's interesting to have her voice her as a little girl and then voice come back and voice her as older.
Yeah. All right, so we start off this episode, another episode that immediately starts immediately into the action. Phoenix Squadron is on the run from the Empire, desperately trying to transfer cargo to a transport. Aboard the Ghost, Zeb completes the mission, and the transport makes the jump to Lightspeed. But while before they get to Lightspeed, there's a pilot that is trying to, like, I don't want to say, I guess, dock with the other ship, and apparently a TIE comes up behind her and blasts her away.
Yeah, which... the ship was already having some damage, so she was obviously having some trouble getting back to the dock because of, I don't know if half her ship was gone, but she was definitely on, like, the ship was definitely on fire before she tried to dock,
which and you can see when she, when she does die, because that's what, she's not coming back, you can kind of see how it is affecting Hera, too.
Yeah.
Very briefly, because it's like, okay, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
You know. And we have this little moment where Hera's describing that they're losing ships, and not only ships, but pilots. And pilots you kind of need.
I think she says something to the tune of, we're losing pilots as fast as we recruit them.
Mm-hmm.
So the ranks are kind of dwindling because of these fights like this.
And honestly, I feel like that does carry over into the next season. I feel like to get more... I don't want to say the word accomplished. Like, I want to put down little Sally over here that died, but like... more trained and skilled pilots to be able to outmaneuver and all that stuff.
Yeah.
With the right training and all that.
But also, this is, again, pulling back from something we haven't seen in a while, which is there is no base anymore. Mm-mm. So, that was back a while back. We had the Inquisitors, I believe it was Legacy, when they lost the base because stupid probe droid had to be a snitch on Ezra, revealing where the base was. So, I think that's... an issue, too, is if you don't really have a location where you can all kind of secretly hide, you're kind of out in the open. You're more vulnerable
because
that way.
Because if they had a base, all that pilot would have to do is jump to the coordinates to their base.
Right. Instead of wouldn't have to dock with another ship.
Everybody stay together, you know.
Yeah,
they say even though they don't have a base, they need somewhere to land their fighters. And it's when Sato suggests stealing an Imperial ship orbiting Ryloth. Now, why it just has to be Ryloth...
I think Hera's thinking the same thing. Why does it have to be
Ryloth? Why does it have to be that system? Like, there's a, it's like a, I don't want to call it a cargo carrier, but that's kind of what it's like. That's where they land their TIEs and all that stuff. So the plan is to, you know, if they can get this carrier, they can be, that's where they can store all their ships.
Yeah, kind of like an aircraft carrier, but in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So immediately, Hera seems troubled. And I love how Kanan has the line that you're actually going to talk to him. So he already knows there's some sort of... all the Ghost crew, he knows her better than everybody. So he knows there's like some sort of rift or something. She tells Connex her father and tells him we need to talk. And then we have this moment where, while they're waiting for him to arrive, Kanan is kind of being like really nervous and like... You know, like, I mean, I think there's a couple of reasons why he's being this way. I think, like, one, obviously, because it's his feelings for her, it'd be like meeting your future father-in-law or something. But also, I think because of, we learn later that he was such a prominent component of the Clone Wars and a strategic leader and all that stuff, that I think that's part of it, too. It's ties to, like, that for him, I think.
I love how you said that because I actually watched Rebels Recon, and both of those things Freddy did allude to. So.
Okay.
They asked, I think it was Andy Gutierrez, asked him, why was he acting nervous, is there something behind it, and he said, obviously, it's because, yes, Hera and Kanan do have feelings for each other. Yes, he said it. I'm sorry, it's out there now. but also, he says, Cham is a link to the past.
Yeah.
So, he even says that, later when he talks to, like, swap battle stories, kind of.
Yeah.
And he says that he fought with Mace Windu. Well, Mace Windu trained Depa Balaba. So it's, like, also, is he a prominent general, but it's a connection to the previous Jedi that came before him, too.
Yeah. So he finally arrives. Cham or Shem, however you want to say it. He introduces Anuma and Gobi, two of his finest warriors. Now, we know Anuma. You've kind of briefly talked about her. Was Gobi in Clone Wars, or is he a new guy?
I think he's new. I don't know. I'm just not sure.
So they go into the briefing room. I think Hera immediately is like, let's just go, you know, Okay, we this meant
this is not
blah,
like a social
blah.
Call.
Yeah, this is we need to talk. You know, like that. I literally meant like
about the mission. Yeah,
not about unresolved feelings or anything like that. Yeah. You know, nothing like that. So they have a plan that they're going to use a stolen TIE bomber to get aboard. One team will secure the hangar, and the other team will secure the bridge. And this is where immediately Cham has this other thing he wants. He wants to destroy the ship, saying, quote, "My people need to see it fall from the sky in flames as a symbol of our strength." But Hera is adamant. So they kind of have this little tension moment. And then mm-hmm. I think Kanan kind of has to play mediator here. Like, look, we're both going to work together.
Use your intel that you have about this ship, but we're going with Hera's plan. Like, that's what we're going to mm-hmm. do. I did notice in my notes here that in Rebels Recon, Pablo Hidalgo mentioned that one of the biggest differences between Hera and her dad is she is very, very much big picture. Like, what's the bigger point? What's the bigger idea here? Which Pablo was like, he's a very wise sage. He says something like, it's interesting because Hera is a pilot and she literally gets a bird's eye view of everything. So that sort of like maybe affects mindset too, mm-hmm. of seeing the bigger picture. Cham, on the other hand, is very much, if it's not affecting me and my people, I don't care. Like, that's all that matters to me is this little bubble. Anything else is not my concern. And so he's very much very smaller picture rather than, okay, and even Hera mentions this later, destroy the ship, they're just going to send another one.
Yeah.
So, why not have it be abuse?
But, I mean, we're going to get to it later, but I do understand where he's coming from, because I feel like he's been through some stuff, I feel like, to make him kind of
hardened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't remember if this was Dave or Pablo mentioned that you're talking about a guy, he went through the Clone Wars. Immediately after that, he's fighting the Empire. So, again, his entire life has been, he's always fighting a battle. And it comes to a point with someone like that, that's all they've known, they're going to take bigger risks, no matter what it takes, you know, because they're just so used to combat, mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah. So they decided to work together, Cham says. Liar. Anyway. Then we have this moment where Ezra asks her what's going on between her and her father, and I think this is a moment, like, to show it once again Ezra is the audience.
Yeah, for sure.
So she explains that they haven't spoken in years, and after her mom was killed in the resistance against the Empire, he became obsessed with the freedom of Ryloth, caring about little else. And I love when she has this moment with Ezra, you can see her kind of being very nervous about it, like he looks down, she's
yeah,
like,
you can see
the tool in her hand is kind of like, that little bone animation.
Yeah, I noticed that too, in little animations like that.
So Cham arrives, and she says, oh, Ryloth's freedom became the most important thing to him. And Ezra says, more important than family? Well, there's nothing more important to me. And he leaves. And she has this moment of pride, like, space mom moment. And then, of course, Cham has to come in and be like, okay.
Ruin it.
and then this is when they have their little argument about, you know, he doesn't believe in the rebellion. I mean, he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, he even calls it a lost cause.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because I don't know. Trying to get in his mindset for me, it's difficult because it's like, okay, this is a lost cause, but you fighting against on your planet isn't.
Yeah.
Like, you're not fighting a larger Imperial. I mean, you kind of are, but you're also kind of not. It's very focused on just that one planet rather than the whole entire galaxy or whatever mm-hmm. the Empire controls. He even. Calling that her mission or her involvement in the rebellion is a lost cause is very much saying, like, oh, well, that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You should be here, home. Like, it's almost like, for me, I felt like he was upset that she didn't stay with him and fight on Ryloth, specifically.
That's what I got from it. Yeah.
I could be completely wrong, but.
And this is when her accent comes out, when she starts getting, the argument starts getting more and more argumentative, or who say the word. And then she tells him that, like, the rebels are fighting to free everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't care about that. I only care about Ryloth.
Which is basically what I said. It doesn't concern this little mm-hmm. bubble. It's none of my concern.
And I love how as he has the last thing he says, I think, as he's leaving the room, and she immediately goes, "So I've noticed." And there's no accent.
Yeah, I noticed that. And then she obviously did that where he can hear her. Like, the door didn't shut. They're still within earshot of mm-hmm. each other. But yeah, I'm not a linguist, but I do wonder, like, is she purposely not using her native accent?
Well, it also makes you wonder, like, if we're getting into linguists here for a minute, like, especially if you're from another country or whatever, you have an accent, you have a native accent, you know, the way you speak and, you know, especially different languages and stuff like that. So when you're away from it, I think that's why she probably lost it, because she's away from her home. She's traveled probably everywhere at this point. And I think being in that room with her father probably... You talk to different people depending
yeah,
on, you know,
that's
where you're
true.
From,
that's
I think.
True.
So it probably was that moment, but also it probably brought her back to... I'm reaching here, but that little girl on Ryloth.
Yeah.
That she used to be.
Yeah.
It probably pull her back to that.
But to that but time. Like you said, to deliberately drop it when they're within
yeah.
earshot, I think was deliberate mm-hmm. in a way. Yeah.
Despite this deep-rooted tension, they move forward the plan. They arrive as the Empire's bombers head for the surface, leaving the ship more vulnerable. And I love that part because I think Chance is something like, well, let's hope they're on schedule because otherwise this plan shows up. They always are, which kind of... The Empire is always, like, you can
very
always,
logical,
very predictive,
yeah.
By predictable,
the book,
yeah.
kind of, yeah.
So the A-Wings move out, and Kanan sends a distress signal with the stolen bomber, so he's like, you know, we need help, like, they're...
Brady's delivery of this was so funny. Like, I think he was spot on with, like, how you think an Imperial being chased by rebels would sound,
yeah.
you know?
It was very funny. So they're heading into the cargo carrier or whatever, and then Hera's like, we need this to look good. So she basically, she doesn't crash. she never crashes. But she slides it kind of into the, almost it's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it didn't.
I thought that strategy was pretty cool, too. Like, there's a lot of strategies in this that are just so sneaky and underhanded, like... Firing on yourself to, like, throw off.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope, like, I'll be honest.
So they're in the hangar. And that's when I think Sabine notices that there's explosives. I think it's when the ship probably landed, it fell out of one of their bags.
Yeah, something like that.
Luckily
they saw that, I guess.
Yeah. And then Syndulla's Manzo, Gobi, and Numa stun Ezra, Zeb, and Sabine. And then Cham stuns Kanan and Chopper. And that's when he reveals, like, we only needed your help to get aboard. He's going forward with his plan to destroy the Imperial ship. What I find interesting here is he doesn't stun Hera. He just puts her in handcuffs.
Yeah, that was interesting. I did wonder, like, it's almost like, dude, you need to know your daughter a little bit better. She's gonna try and get out of mm-hmm. the cuffs. And putting explosives on a ship when you don't know where your daughter's gonna wind up, to me, was just very, again, very short-sighted. He's not
oh,
seeing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. What could possibly happen? Yeah, what could happen? You could put your explosives, leave, and then, oops, you left your daughter and her other friends on the ship, and it just explodes. But, again, I think he's just so, like, I don't want to say narrow-minded, because I think because of what he's gone through, his wife dying and everything, I get it. But at the same time, it does seem a little bit very...
I think things got crossed for him probably when his wife died. I think after that, it was like everything is about protecting...
Tunnel vision is what I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, tunnel vision.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kind of like you're going, not flying blind, but kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So Hera wakes up Chopper. He undoes her binders, and the rest of the team comes too. Hera says they will finish their mission, but first they have to stop her father. Cham makes his way to the ship, and Numa alerts him that they're awake. And he orders her to set the charges and that he will deal with his daughter. Meanwhile, Kanan and Ezra head toward the bridge, and this part was really dope, I thought, when they start closing the blast doors and the shoving each other and pulling each other, and, like, that part was really dope.
Yeah. The only part that I had a problem with was after Kanan sliced that, you know what I'm about to say?
Yeah.
He sliced that last door, and then all of a sudden here comes Hera and Ezra running up, like, what happened to the other 15 blast doors? Where did they go? Like, they're just kind of gone.
Maybe there was another button that opened them?
I don't know, maybe... I was like, maybe Chopper was with them to do something?
Yeah, Chopper was with them.
Yeah, maybe he disabled. That was very quick, though. All them doors just went, like, just all
yeah,
at
and
once.
Then when Kanan pushes, makes the, you know, makes hole, little and hole, shoves it, there's
nothing
yeah.
behind him. She's
I noticed
running.
That, too. So they reach the bridge, and of course there's an Imperial officer there. And for some reason, Kanan decides this is a good time to train Ezra how to do a Jedi mind trick. And it doesn't work at first, but soon Ezra has the captain ordering a full-scale evacuation of the ship. Which, yeah, this is another point that, like, it's very thought out strategic. Like, you need everybody off of it so you can steal it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course, Cham has to come in there with his blaster drawn, and now he's deactivated the hyperdrive.
Which, again, holding yourself up in a... Maybe he did have a death wish. Like, holding yourself up on a ship that you are going to plan to blow up and you disable it. How are you going to get off? I guess they were going to plan to steal one of the bombers. That's probably what they were going to do.
Yeah, probably.
But still, man. Again, you take very big risks when you're used to battle. You're like, oh, well. And even, I think there is some confidence issues as well. Because even he tells Kanan, well, they're still trying to figure out how to stop me. Kind of.
Yeah, he did. And they were like, sure, naval stories or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, the Imperials still haven't figured out how to stop me yet. So I think there's also maybe some overconfidence issues playing up. Yeah, that as well. Like, he's just not used to losing.
He tells him that they're not going anywhere, and he says, I must destroy this ship for Ryloth. Hera implores her father, saying that the battle against the Empire can't be won on Ryloth alone. And the rebellion is no different than the war he's fighting. Like, she's trying to, like, this is, like, a moment of, like, we gotta find some common ground here.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting this, as she's giving this little speech to him, the calm is on, so Gobi and Numa can also hear what he's saying. Mm-hmm.
Which, props to Sabine for using that
I was droid. About to bring that up, we missed that, yeah, where she uses the droid to, knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna lie, I got kind of emotional when she's like, you inspired me.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he realized how, like, I feel like because there was such a disconnect, he didn't realize how much of an impact he made on her.
Yeah.
And I think that was the moment where he started to go, okay.
Yeah, I think definitely after that line, you kind of see his features soften a little bit, and he's like, oh, okay. Also, too, is if his people are siding with her now, so
yeah, they're like, we're with you, Hera. Like,
oh well, like, you know, okay, you know, kind of like the parents, like, oh yeah, I don't want to admit that you're right, but yeah, okay.
But the one part I do remember was you inspired me.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, she's opening her heart to you. You gotta just let it go. Yeah.
But like, even right before that, she was like, I think you're right. She's like, I wasn't sure if it's because you didn't believe in me as a person, that's hard to hear from your kid that, you, like, imagine if, like, you have a child and they grow up and they're like, hey, I never felt that you believed in anything that I did or was good enough or whatever, so I think that's also playing into his emotions as well, like, oh, wow, I didn't, and we get that at the end when he gives her props, you mm-hmm. know?
So he kind of relents and says, okay, we'll do your plan or whatever. Reinforcements have arrived. Now, I got confused. Are these the bombers that left? Are they coming back?
I think these are the bombers that left and they're coming back.
Okay.
Either that or they had sent out a distress signal that reinforcements had sent and then the bombers show up.
Okay.
I think that's what happened.
So Ty's in a shuttle. So now there's a shuttle carrying heavily armed stormtroopers approaching. Kanan, Ezra, Zeb, and Sabine take to the gunners and blast the Imperial craft before they can do any damage. Okay, then bombers have returned. So we got reinforcements.
Thanks, Cham, by the way.
What?
Thanks, Cham, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they can't go anywhere.
When I said that, he was like, the bombers have returned. Like, whose fault was that?
We couldn't escape because you disabled the hyperdrive. And then they start launching torpedoes at them. This part was really cool, where the bombers hit the cruiser and it loses its stabilizer, and they dip. And then what I love about this part is, like, we lost our stabilizer. And then Ezra and everybody and Sabine and everybody on the gunners is like, oh, we're just going to keep firing. So even though they're like this, they just still keep shooting.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, just seeing them work together, because they have been so, you know, apart.
Oh, yeah, Numa and I think and Gobi were take also,
the gunners too. Yeah. And seeing them fire the torpedoes, and which is interesting. I'm sure that's in Star Wars, but no, I guess not in Rebels. We've never really seen in Rebels someone shoot at a torpedo while it's about to hit a target and then just kind of like explode or something. I don't know how the mechanics work. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Really
I
cool
do.
Scenes, all I was going to say.
Hera struggles to keep the craft from heading into a nosedive, and that's when they have this moment where Cham also grabs the controls, and together they get the ship back where it needs to be. But then a cruiser shows up.
Like the pacing of this.
Yeah, this is where everything's like, go, 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 go. Like, all the people. Just all the reinforcements. Sabine and Cham head to the hangar and find another bomber, and they plant his explosives in the cockpit, and this is where they have this idea where Ezra just, she's like, I think she says I disabled the gravity on it, so you can just...
Yeah, interesting that was Ezra's idea, too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And Cham's
like, okay, I'll come with you, you know, which is interesting to see him kind of flip to, oh, okay.
But also, I love that part, too. He's like, I'll help you. And he looks at Hera like, are you sure?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, just go with him, but hurry. Yeah.
So the bomber drifts toward the Imperial ship. And I think Sabine has that moment where she's like, you wanted to blow something up. This is your chance. Blow that up. Mm-hmm. We're taking this, but blow that up.
Yeah.
So he does, and it creates a massive explosion. The cruiser falls toward the surface, defeated. And the rebels return to the fleet with their new ship. Question. I love how he destroys this thing and he goes, for you, my people. I'm like, I hope to God there's nobody below that's going to get crushed from that.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, okay, one, all those people in that cruiser died.
Well, you know, me.
I mean, I always hated people like, this show ain't dark enough. No one dies. I'm like, this is a whole crew of people, all this ship that just died. But also like, oh great, now we have this 200 ton thing of burning metal, or whatever metal is in Star Wars, falling to the surface.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're just out, all the Ryloth people are just out with their popcorn, like it's 4th of July or something.
I mean, I hope there's nobody below that. that was my first thought. I was like, for you, my people. I'm like, my first thought was like, oh, I hope that's a desert, that's where that's going.
It should be conveniently a desert. It seems like there's a lot of those in Star Wars.
We'll say
an uninhabited area.
We'll say on this pod, it lands in a desert. Mm. Nobody dies from that. Nobody gets crushed. Anyway. So they get back to the fleet, and that's when Cham tells them that all over Ryloth, people are rallying against the Empire. He takes a moment to speak to his daughter alone. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I cried in this episode.
Aww.
This might be off, but anyway. He says he was heartbroken when she left, but now understands that she's like her mother, a dreamer. I am proud of you, Captain Sigilda, he says, and returns home. That part when he says you're like your mother, I died. I was like, that is so sad. He's talking about his dead wife. That's so sad.
But also to acknowledge that when he says Captain, says a lot. Oh, like, he's acknowledging that the rebellion is a legitimate, like, not military, but legitimate cause, with, you know, sort of acknowledging that not only her as a leader, but also the rebellion in general. And the cell that she's in. Yeah.
And also love how he says he was heartbroken when she left. So he does say that, don't think just because you left it, I didn't even hurt me.
Yeah. Did. Again, communication, very important in relationships.
Very important, yes. what did you think of this episode?
I thought it was very well done. I really liked the pacing. The animation was really cool. Especially there's so many animation scenes that were really good.
Mm-hmm.
The one I didn't talk about was the very beginning with Phoenix Squadron, and the Empire. We had this, like, camera movement at the very beginning. I had to rewind it and watch it twice. You see, like, the ship spin around, and sort of, like, a camera follows it. Kind of really cool movement with, I guess, the camera, the virtual camera.
Okay, yeah.
For the audience's perspectives or whatever. Liked all of the underhanded, unconventional war tactics, because I like the very, like, sneakiness of it. Like, false flag operation, firing on yourself, the blowing up the tie, using the little droid. It always has to do with blowing something up, but, yeah, really cool. Getting more information on Hera, and her relationship with her dad was interesting. I'm trying to think of anything else that I didn't like about this episode. I'm not sure. I guess if I had to nitpick something, it would be, Chan being able to, like we said, destroy the Imperial ship that just happened to show up. So it's like he kind of got his explosion. It was almost like, okay, what would he have thought had he not got to do that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because that was sort of his plan at the beginning. Not really. I mean, kind of. Blow something up. But he wanted to blow up the cruiser or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I forgot we could do halves.
I don't know why I added a half to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I liked it. Pacing was really good. I loved... Obviously, Kaya meeting Cham is still funny when he calls everybody the wrong name.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a funny moment.
Yeah, seeing everyone's reaction to that.
Yeah, like, no, that's not my name. Anyway. Also, all of Hera's conversations with her father, and I think we already touched on this about him inspiring her, and that she, I feel like she, like, he does say that she, you're like your mother, but she's also like him, too.
Yeah, even Kaden acknowledges that, like, he reminds me of someone else I know, and she's kind of like, eh. Kind of like when you tell someone, hey, you're like your dad, you're like your mom, you're like, eh, really? Yeah. Even when it's some good, supposed to be a compliment, you're getting some of the good points.
Cham Syndulla, right? When they first announced these characters, they had her name, Hera
Syndulla.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure everybody was like, that's his daughter.
I remember people were talking about on, like, online, like, message... I'd say message boards, but to date myself, like, the old Tumblr stuff. And they're like, oh, where are we going to see Cham? Like, I've heard that name, but I don't have a face, and I don't know, like, I'm assuming it's her dad, but I wasn't, didn't have the knowledge of those episodes like other people did. Because I'm sure when they saw the Syndulla name, like, oh, where's her dad at? Or is she related to Cham in some way? So, also, just, I guess maybe I gave it the half because a lot of people, I don't think, like this scene. I thought it was funny. Ezra's choice of words with brainwashing the captain was just hilarious. Yeah. I really mean it. This is the captain. Kind of, it's obviously a kid, doing a mind trick.
I mean, let's be honest. If you could have a 14-year-old the ability to do mind tricks, like, now stand on your head. Like, they would be doing the most absolute ridiculous things.